Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. What about you? Have you ever been in a situation where you just wanted to run away? It's not just about being afraid, but sometimes things are just so overwhelming that you really just want to walk away. You just want to run away. Maybe it's a job where you just had it, and all you want to do is just walk away. Or maybe it's a relationship where you have given it your all, and it's just too much, and you just want to walk away. That is a very human feeling, wanting to walk away. And it's important for us to understand that even those that we regard in high esteem, those that we call saints, also felt like walking away. In fact, many of them walked away. Let me tell you a story about one of them. It's an apocryphal story. We don't know if it's historical, factual, or not. But it's the story of Peter, the great Peter, whom our Catholic brothers and sisters believe was the first pope. It is said that during the great persecution of the church, when Nero was persecuting and killing members of the church, he decided to leave Jerusalem. And the story says that as he was on his way away from Jerusalem, now this is the one that when Jesus said to him what was going to happen, when Jesus said that he was going to be crucified, this is the same one that took Jesus aside and said, "Jesus, don't do that." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, because you're not seeing things the way God sees them, but the way human beings see them." So he was doing it again. He was just walking away from Jerusalem. And as he was walking away from Jerusalem, he saw this stranger walking in the opposite direction. And when he looked at him, he recognized him. It was, the children can answer, who it was? Jesus. And then Jesus just kept going. And so Peter looked at him and he said, "Jesus, where are you going?" And then he said, "I am going to Jerusalem to die with my followers." And then Peter, of course, he turned around and then went back to Jerusalem. And the story is that they arrested him and that they were going to crucify Peter. But Peter said, "Who am I to die in the same way that my Lord died?" So the story goes that he requested to be crucified upside down. So Peter was crucified upside down. So this instinct to run away is very natural. That's the same thing that happened to the two disciples that we just heard about. They were on their way to Emmaus. They were scared. They were fearful. And it is important to recognize that they were right to be fearful and to be scared. Later, when we read in the book of Acts, we see that the chief priests had given letters to people like Saul of Tarsus to persecute the church, to go to arrest them and to bring them to the authorities. So they really wanted to arrest them. They were really after them. It was not something that they were imagining. They were in danger. So these two disciples, they wanted to just go away from it. They just wanted to walk away from it. And as they were walking, Jesus approaches them and starts walking with them. That's the first thing that he does. He just walks with them. And then he asked them, "What are you talking about?" He knew what they were talking about, but he asked them anyway. And then he listens. He just listens to them. And then he opens the scriptures to them. And then they invite him in, right? And he breaks bread. Now, I believe that that offers us a wonderful model of how to accompany each other, especially when we see that our brother or our sister is in one of those situations where they're just ready to walk away, where they're just overwhelmed, where they're just full of fear. So the first thing that we are invited to do is just to walk with the person, just to walk side by side. Sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes we don't know what to say. But all we need to do is to begin by walking with them and then listening. They ask the question, "What things?" He knew what had happened. Sometimes when we're visiting somebody, they tell us stories that we've heard before, 10 times, 20 times, 100 times. It's not about sharing information. It is not them that are giving you something, but really it's you giving them the gift of listening. And so in listening, there is healing. And so we accompany each other by simply being there, walking with them, and listening. It's that simple, being fully present and listening. I heard another story that is apocryphal, I believe also, about the musician Beethoven. Am I saying that correctly? Beethoven, thank you. And the story is that there was a woman in his where he lived that had lost her husband. And everybody was coming to give expressions of condolences. That's what happens when you spend 3 days in Puerto Rico and then you have to switch back to English. But he didn't. And people were surprised that he had not said anything. What he did in due time was he invited her to his home. And then he played something for her. And it moved her to tears. And it made her feel good, feel better. Sometimes we don't have words. Sometimes we don't know what to say to the other person. But sometimes there are no words that can express what we have to say. Sometimes it's a piece of music. Sometimes it's just holding hands. Sometimes it's a hug. And sometimes it's just sitting next to the person in silence for as long as it takes. So we walk together. The second thing that we see that happens is that the scriptures are open. And now in this model, I'm not saying that we need to go and open the scriptures and say, kind of the way Jesus said, you know, you fool, don't you understand that God is with you? But the point is that in opening the scriptures, you know, it's not obvious what the word is for us in a given moment. It doesn't say that Jesus read the scriptures to them. It says that he opened the scriptures to them. And so we need to open the scriptures for each other and try to allow the word of God to speak to our condition, to our situation, to our present moment through the study of the scriptures together. And God speaks to our situation, and we know that because our hearts too burn when God is talking to us that moment. And then when they approached the home, Jesus made like he was going to keep going, and they invited Jesus in. Now, this is something that is very hard for us to understand and for me because we don't live in that culture. See, in their culture, hospitality was a sacred duty. You really were obligated, but not in a way that you feel it was forceful. It was a joy to receive the stranger in your home. Remember Abraham when he was sitting under the shade of the tree, and then three strangers walked by. And then he ran, and he invited them over, and then he had a big feast for them. And he was entertaining angels without knowing it. So hospitality is important. And so Jesus, they invite Jesus into their home. Another story, and this one is not apocryphal, this one is true. John Chrysostom was one of the first leaders of the Eastern Church in Constantinople. And he is known as one of the fathers of the church, and he was a great preacher. And the story goes that he did not like a development that was happening in his church. It was a very wealthy church. And so it's very paradoxical because he was upset because they were opening homes for the homeless and they were opening homes for the orphans. And he did not like that. Not because he didn't think that people should not care for the homeless or for the orphans, because he felt that the reason the church was doing that was so that they didn't have to deal with them personally. It was because by keeping them over there, they did not have to be impacted, to be confronted by the reality of poverty, by the reality of homelessness, by the face of their brothers and sisters who were going through that. So we need to learn to receive each other beyond our comfort zone. I have to work on that. I'm not comfortable doing that, but we are called to do that, to receive. And there's something sacred that happens when we do that. Not only do we give, but we also receive. We realize the presence of God in our midst. And then, of course, there is the breaking of the bread. And in the breaking of the bread, they recognize the presence of Jesus. So even when we don't feel like it, sometimes coming to the assembly of worship makes a big difference. When you receive that bread, you are receiving the presence of Christ in your life. I had a colleague that talked about an occasion when his father had died. His father committed suicide, actually, and he said that he had a terrible time going to church because he was not hearing anything. He said it didn't matter what the pastor said. I was just not processing it. And he said, but the sacrament was always there. He said, I would go, I would kneel down, and just receiving that bread and drinking from that cup, I knew that God was there with me. So that makes a big difference. So that is the way that Jesus models for us, how we accompany each other. But not only at the personal level, also as a church in the world. As a matter of fact, this story that we just heard is the model that our national church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, uses to articulate the way that we engage around the world. They call it accompaniment. If you know a little bit of Spanish or Latin, you recognize pan, bread, in that word, accompaniment, companies, with bread. So this is what we as a church are called to do, not only with each other, but then in the world, in situations that are so scary and so complicated that we frankly just want to walk away from it. We just want to run away from it. But as a church, we need to remember that we're not just called to the church for the healing of our individual selves. We're not just called into church for the salvation of our individual souls. We are called into church because Christ wants us to continue the mission that he started. We are called to church. We are accompanied by each other. We are fed. And then, just like those two disciples, all of a sudden, Jesus didn't say to them, go back there. It was just obvious to them. We have to go back there. And so we too are invited in different ways to go back to that messiness of the world, to go back to all those situations that are so complicated and so messy and so dangerous that we just want to walk away. We are inspired to enter the world in the name of Christ and to make a difference. And when we do that, we are surprised because what we find is what they found. They were not alone. There was already a community in the midst of Jerusalem. And in the community, God was already doing amazing things. They said, we know the Lord also appeared to Simon. And so we too, when we do that, we'll be surprised by what God is already doing in the world. So may we find the courage in the breaking of the bread to recognize the presence of the Christ and to listen to the call to enter in the messiness of the world and in the name of Christ make a little difference. Amen.